From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Israeli Prime Minister is staunchly defending the deadly commando raid on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla where 9 people were killed earlier this week. In a televised address to Israel today, Benjamin Netanyahu flatly rejects claims that the convoy was on a peaceful mission.
That was not a love boat. That was a boat of hatred. It was not a peace flotilla. It was a flotilla of terror supporters.
Netanyahu is heard through an interpreter. The ships were carrying nearly 700 people, mostly international activists, to Gaza Monday in defiance of an Israeli blockade. Netanyahu says the blockade is vital to preventing weapon smuggling and attacks on the Jewish state. At Israel's Beersheba prison, the BBC's Andrew North reports foreign activists detained during Monday's raid are being sent home.
Somewhere around 200 Turkish nationals are already on their way out of the country, being taken out by Turkish planes. And it appears that it's actually Turkish planes that are going to take out all the remainder as well of the foreign activists. That's important. I mean, most of them were foreigners, but a small number of Israeli Arabs who were detained on that flotilla of aid ships by Israeli security forces are still in custody, we understand, and are likely to face charges.
The BBC's Andrew North reporting. The possible presence of lethal and explosive gases has stymied the attempt to re-enter the upper Big Branch mine in West Virginia, site of a deadly explosion in April. Mine rescue teams had hoped to penetrate that mine today and make sure it is safe for investigators. We have more on this from NPR's Howard Berkus.
Two mine rescue teams entered Upper Big Branch from two different portals this morning, but each only made it 1,000 feet before handheld sensors detected elevated levels of carbon monoxide and methane. The teams also took bottled samples of air so that more rigorous testing can confirm the readings. They then turned around and left the mine. The West Virginia Mine Safety Agency says the teams may try again later today. The teams include representatives of the state and federal mine safety agencies and mine owner Massey Energy. Their brief reentry today is the first step in what could be a long process of getting investigators into the mine. The search for a cause of the April 5th blast that left 29 miners dead has been thwarted by dangerous gases and what might be a smoldering fire underground. Howard Berkus, NPR News.
President Obama is speaking in Pittsburgh this hour, pledging to push Congress for an overhaul in energy policy. This in the wake of the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, where BP engineers are trying to contain the leak. At last check on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up more than 100 points at 10,130. In trading of just over 2 billion shares, NASDAQ is up 31 at 2,253. From Washington, this is NPR News. The nation's governors have taken a big step toward establishing common core academic standards for public schools across the U.S. NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports.
48 states have endorsed the first-ever Uniform Common Standards in Math and English. The agreement will help guide state school boards as they develop their K-12 curricula, along with standardized tests aligned to that coursework. These Common Core standards could be the precursor to a national curriculum, which means schools across the country, regardless of geography, eventually would teach the same basic subjects. Right now, academic standards vary widely in content and rigor, so there's no reliable way to compare what students know and are able to do state by state. State education officials, governors, and the teachers' unions stress that national standards will be more rigorous, but are only a foundation. Local schools would have the freedom to adapt these national standards to their own educational goals. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.
The former head of the Florida Republican Party, Jim Greer, was arrested today and charged with felony theft. Greer was picked up at his home near Orlando this morning. He was under investigation for alleged misuse of taxpayer money. He resigned back in February amid reports of lavish spending, including expensive meals and spending money on private jets. Japanese Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama is stepping down. He is the fourth prime minister to do so in 4 years. 8 months after sweeping into office, Hatoyama resigned today under pressure from his own party in advance of upper house elections. Hatoyama's popularity plunged over a failed campaign promise to move a U.S. Marine base. His staff was also linked to a political funding scandal. This is NPR News.